A new film tells a love story that starts in a gym in the America of the 1980s. The movie also reflects a trend in cinema that's much more 21st century. Here's NPR's Julie Deppenbrock.
In just the last year, we've had Bottoms, a satire about two unpopular queer high schoolers who start a fight club to meet girls.
Could the ugly, untalented gays please report to the principal's office?
Guess that's you guys.
Driveway Dolls is another comedy. This one's about two restless friends who embark on a road trip to Tallahassee, Florida.
I've had it with love. I don't believe it's relevant to the 21st century lesbian.
And in theaters right now, Love Lies Bleeding.
So where did you appear from?
Oklahoma.
I've never been anywhere but here.
Directed by Rose Glass, Love Lies Bleeding takes place in 1989 in the American Southwest. It's a love story between two seemingly opposite characters, Jackie, an aspiring bodybuilder played by Katie O'Brien, and Lou, a gym manager played by Kristen Stewart.
Is that why you left home? Oklahoma's not into muscle chicks?
Yeah, not so much. The place I'm from, everyone's a farmer, goes to church twice a week, that kind of thing.
The two meet and immediately become infatuated with one another. But just as quickly, things start to go wrong.
I guess it's kind of a darkly comic romance thriller satire kind of thing.
That's Glass, who directed and co-wrote Love Lies Bleeding. Here's how Kristen Stewart described her character.
I mean, she's like a pretty nice guy. She wants to be a good dude.
Lou, the nice guy, works at the gym owned by her estranged father, played by gun-wielding Ed Harris. Before Lou meets Jackie, Stewart says she's feeling stuck, like she can't escape the violence in her own DNA. But then this larger-than-life person enters the scene.
I really was scared of Jackie and thought she was, like, the only redeeming quality is that she's really sweet. And there was something about Lou liking her that made me like Lou even more. And, like, I don't know that they know each other. I don't know that this movie necessarily is, like, was a huge proponent for love, but it is, like, fun and a bit of a fever dream, which love definitely feels like.
Stewart was obsessed with Rose Glass's first film, St. Maud. She says it's a delight to see Glass be allowed to do pretty much whatever she wants, and for entertainment company A24 to support that vision. Stewart says more often you read a script and you wonder, how did this get financed? It's so bad.
And then some scripts you read very rarely, like one of which is this movie, and you're like, how did this get financed? It's so good.
Glass says the queerness of this story wasn't something they were consciously thinking about when making the film. It was just baked in. Here's Stewart and Glass again.
Did we ever talk about that on set ever? No, we did not ever. Not once.
No.
We just functioned from a place of pure curiosity and desire and just went like, well, I don't know. What do you think? What do you want? What do you want? Like, and we weren't going, oh my God, isn't this so cool? Because like what I want is so gay and queer. And here we are being
exactly.
Gay and queer, like unapologetically. But that was happening, yeah. For sure. But it was just more of a, yeah, we weren't underlining that point yet.
So if a film like Love Lies Bleeding can remain as idiosyncratic as it is and reach a wider audience, that's meaningful.
I don't think that the art should be sacrificed for the mainstream appeal or, you know, mainstream release. But Love Lies Bleeding definitely does not do that.
That's filmmaker and critic Drew Burnett Gregory. She says movies that feature queer characters front and center have always been around. But the accessibility of those films is a more recent phenomenon.
Movies that aren't as widely available, sometimes that means that they're only available to people in major cities and there are queer people everywhere. And so to have a movie that's going to get a wider release and have a famous person in it is really huge.
Burnett Gregory says what's meaningful about Love Lies Bleeding is how flawed and complicated the characters are allowed to be.
I do think it's a really special film and kind of a game changer. And I think the hope is then like, okay, will studios be able to look at this and go, oh, okay, like we can put money towards a project like this.
All this reminds queer film historian Jenny Olson of a line in Vita Russo's book, The Celluloid Closet.
In the end, what most gay people want is interesting, challenging film experiences that do not make them feel insulted or invisible.
What's exciting, Olson says, is to feel like that's happening now, to a certain degree. Julie Deppenbrock, NPR News.